Thank you for joining us for this week's sermon from First Reformed Church in Edgerton, Minnesota. Each week, we dig into God's Word, trusting that the Holy Spirit will continue the good work of sanctification in us.
It's fun to deliver good news, isn't it? To be able to have something exciting to tell people. It's always much better to have good news than bad news. If you were sent to the store for something, for example, it's a lot more fun to be able to say that you got what you were sent for than to come back in and say, sorry, they were out. It's much better to come home as a child after an evening of studying with your parents to come through the door waving the paper saying, I got an A or a B, than to say, I barely made by with that D minus, right? Much better to have good news to share. As I was thinking through different examples of news that we might share this week, I had another one of those moments where I thought about how differently this now occurs in our lives with technology. We used to have to sit on news, didn't we? If you got a good grade after studying hard, and you had to wait, you had to come home, you had to tell your parents, maybe you had to wait for them to get home from work. Now, chances are, between classes, gotta be. That's all we say. Hey, we're excited. That's all it is. You get a raise at work. You don't wait for the family to come home and say, hey, we're going out for supper. I got a raise at work. It's a text or a quick call that might say, hey, good news. Got a raise. See you after work. Right? We don't like anticipate and sit on news like we used to. This good news is something we just kind of spit out like it's ordinary, everyday stuff. Well, they couldn't have done that in the time of Jesus. Last week, we saw Jesus sending out the 72. And yes, they have good news to share, but they can't fire off a text to Jesus saying, hey, it's going great, can't wait to see you in a few weeks. They can't even go to a phone booth and drop a quarter in the slot and say, just a quick update. Things are going pretty good. No, they've been sitting on this news. They've had to contemplate this news of the return to tell Jesus of how well it's been going. So as we come to this passage here in Luke's gospel, we see this return of these 72 followers that he sent out with this message that they were told to deliver. The kingdom has come near. They've gone out with this message. And so now we are seeing the joy that we have. Now, Luke tells us that this larger group has come back, and they have something interesting to say. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And what we sort of feel with this part of the passage is this mood of, you know, Jesus, we've watched you do all these things. And when you sent us out with this authority, we thought, sure, we can say the kingdom has come near. Sure, maybe we can, you know, cure someone of the common cold. Or maybe that guy who has a limp, maybe we can help him with that. But Jesus, you're not going to believe this. You sent us out with this authority, and it's the real deal. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They've seen Jesus do this, and now they are able to say, even we have this. Now, the idea that we get here, as we've been going through the book of Luke, is that Jesus has authority. That's who Jesus is. He has authority. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over these evil spirits. And so this authority means that when he speaks, we're to listen. His words have authority over us. This is the important theme in the story that Luke tells in the Gospel of Luke. And now we are seeing that this goes beyond the authority he's given to the 12, but it also goes to these 72, these people who have been sent out. They are even able to cast out evil spirits. And so we see Jesus respond here. He says something interesting. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, as I was looking at this during the week and studying what different people have to say about this, nobody really thinks that this was a specific event that when they went out, Jesus looked up, saw Satan fall from heaven. That's not the point. What it is it's calling back on Isaiah 14:12, where it says that the son of the morning, Satan, fell from heaven. That is what it's saying, that Jesus, the idea is that Jesus has always seen this. He was there back when Satan fell from heaven. He is eternal. And now this is another example of the power and the authority that God has over the son of the morning, that God has over Satan. And so the idea here is that now this authority that he has is transferred to them, and this is debilitating to the kingdom of evil. That the kingdom of heaven has power even over the kingdom of evil. This is the big message here. And we see this, that Jesus is telling them that he has given them authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now the idea here isn't that these 72 people are like, hey, next time I'm walking down the road, I'm going to walk up to a serpent and see if it bites me, if I'll live. Now, that may have been the case. They may have not been damaged by it. We know that Paul was healed from a certain serpent bite. But that's not the point of the text here. These are images for evil spirits, serpents and scorpions. What Jesus is saying here is that I've given you power over the evil spirits and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. You have authority because I have given it to you, because I have authority over these things. You have authority over these things as well. But notice that Jesus is talking about how awesome this is. How amazing is it that they can do these things? But that's not the big story here, according to Jesus. What does it say? Nevertheless, where are we at here? Next slide, sorry. I can change it myself. There we go. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It's confusing for me. The text is a lot bigger back there, so I can see it right at the bottom. Nevertheless, rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. According to Jesus, the big point here is not that they're able to do these signs and wonders. The big point is that they have been saved, that they are in the kingdom of heaven, that they are God's own, that God has laid hold to them, and that they are his children. That's the big news here. Now, you and I are prone to this way of thinking. We wish that we could do something amazing. We wish that we could do some sort of sign, some sort of wonder that would let us know for sure. But what Jesus is saying here is that nevertheless, that's not the big deal. The faith that we have, the gift that the Holy Spirit has given us, that's the big deal. The fact that you have faith is more amazing than someone who can cast out demons. Because here we sit, and God has brought us together. God has made us his people. He has forgiven us of our sins. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his light. You were dead in your sin, but now you are alive in Christ. That is greater news than being able to cast out a demon. That is the big story that Jesus wants us to understand here. And as we move on to the down into the text, we see that Jesus continues to rejoice in this. In fact, he gives thanks to the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, because of something amazing that's happened. This message, God has hidden from those who are wise, those who have understanding, but he has revealed it to little children. Now, this isn't an insult to these 72. It's not an insult to the disciples. It's not an insult to us. It's not God saying, yeah, those smart people over there, they don't get this, but you do. That's not what's saying. You're too stupid. That's not what's happening. The big message here is that this message of the kingdom comes near to those who are the least. This message of the kingdom comes not to the people who are in positions of power. This message of the kingdom doesn't come to those who have authority in the world. But it comes to children. It comes to people who are dead in their sin. It comes to them and it gives them life. That's God's gracious will. And that's the good news for us, because here we sit. We are the people of God. And this message has come to us, the least of these, people who were sinners And now this message comes to us and it resurrects us to life and it gives us peace, it gives us hope, it gives us joy. And this is the will of God. He has done this. I mentioned this last week when Jesus said that the message was going out, that they were going out into the backwater parts of Palestine and delivering this message of the kingdom has come near to you. How amazing this message was. The kingdom didn't come near to the people in power in Rome. The kingdom didn't come near to those who were in authority in Jerusalem. The kingdom was coming near to the people in the highways and byways, the ordinary people, the children. That's who the message was coming to. And this was the will of God. Everyone can come to faith. Everyone can have faith and trust in Christ. Why? Because the message is for all people, Jew, Gentile, man, woman, young, old. The message of the gospel is for all of us. And so, as we continue to look at this passage, we see that Jesus turns to his disciples and he talks to them privately. And we see this big idea here unfold for us in the words of Jesus. He said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear." Jesus is saying all throughout the history of redemption, there have been prophets, the messengers of God, who desired to see this. There were kings who acted for God. They were the people in the positions of authority. They wanted to hear this. They knew the story was coming. They believed in the promise of the Messiah, and they were agents of God as kings. They were messengers of God as prophets. And Jesus says to them, but they didn't see this. They didn't hear this. They desired to, but they didn't. And now, here, where are you, disciples? Where are you, 72 that have been sent out? You are blessed to hear and to see what God is doing. They had heard the story from the beginning, that Adam and Eve fell in their sin and they were deserving of God's wrath, but God promised that he would bring one who would redeem all of creation, that would save his people, this one who would crush the head of the serpent. Think back to what it just said. You have authority over serpents and scorpions, right? Same kind of idea. This imagery over evil. They were waiting on this one who would crush the head of the serpent. They were waiting for the Messiah. They knew the story. They desired it. In fact, the kings may have even thought, I'm in the line of David. The Messiah is going to come from one of my offspring. Maybe my child that my wife is carrying right now, maybe that child will be the Messiah. The kings may have even had that level of hope. They desired to see the head crusher, the Messiah, the one who would destroy the work of the serpent, but they never did. But yet in this point in history, in the fullness of time, as Scripture tells us, what has happened? God came near to us. The kingdom came near through Jesus taking on our flesh. And here Jesus is saying these prophets, these kings, these messengers and agents of God, they hoped for this, but they never saw it. These people that you have looked to in the past as being the ultimate, they never got to see this. But here you common people have had this message come near to you. The kingdom has come near. God has blessed you with this message, and they see and they hear and they believe. And so as we think about what this passage means for us, this is applicable to us as well. We are blessed beyond measure. There were people throughout all the Old Covenant who would have hoped to see the Messiah, or just even to hear that he had come, that he had done what he was promised to do. But they never heard it. They looked, they were saved by trusting in that hope. Yes, as we read in the book of Hebrews. But you and I are blessed because we have heard the message of salvation in Christ. We have heard the gospel. We know that story. We know the fullness of it. That in the beginning, We fell into sin. Our federal head, Adam, fell into sin. And because of it, everybody who came after him was guilty and was born in sin, born dead in trespasses and sins. And we could not save ourselves. And God promised that one would come who would defeat the serpent, who would defeat sin, death, hell, and the devil. That was promised. And eventually, what did God do? God the Son took on our very own flesh. He lived a perfect life for you and I because we could not, because we were born dead in sin. He went to the cross and bore the wrath of God for our sin, but death could not defeat him. He could not be held in that grave, and so he rose from the dead. And there's even more good news beyond that. And that good news is he has ascended to the right hand of the Father in our very own flesh, interceding for us at the Father's right hand that we might have hope, joy, and peace. This is what we have heard. The prophets couldn't even imagine it. The kings couldn't have even believed it. It's what they were hoping for, but they didn't get to hear it, but you and I do. That's the message of the gospel. That is what we have in Christ. We are blessed to hear. And so as we think about what we do with this passage, of the success and the joy that these 72 disciples that were sent out had, we have good news that we can share, that God has come near to us and we're blessed to hear and believe the gospel. Just as they were blessed beyond the measure of kings and prophets, so are we. We have a message that we have heard, and even better, it is a message that we have believed. God has given us the gift of faith to trust in this for our salvation. The message that kings and prophets only hope to hear, we have in front of us, and we know it intimately, and we believe it by faith because God gave that gift of faith to us when he came near to us in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing privilege and blessing this is for us as the people of God. So may we be a people who understand the great gift that this is, that understand what a privilege it is to be able to share this message, what a privilege it is to be able to believe this message. And so may we proclaim it. May we proclaim it to our family, to our friends, to those we interact with, that the message of the kingdom might come near to them as well, that they might understand the privilege in hearing and believing the good news, that they might be a part of the kingdom, that they might have the hope and the joy and the peace that comes from salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that it has come near to us. And we thank you that through the Holy Spirit, it comes even nearer. It is built up in our hearts through faith. It leads us to repentance. It causes us to trust in Christ alone for our salvation. So may we daily live with the joy of knowing this truth. May we desire to be built up by that good news of the gospel and the power of your word. And may we also desire to share it with those who we come into contact with, because the kingdom has come near and is the kingdom of salvation through Christ alone. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's sermon. For more information about First Reformed Church, head to our Facebook page or website, edgertonfrc.org.